You know, when it comes to measuring heart health, doctors have long used so-called good cholesterol. Those are the HDL numbers as a marker. Do you know, Chris, your HDL numbers?
Not off the top of my head.
But high, low, do you know?
No, right where they're supposed to be.
Right where they're supposed to
be. Yeah, okay. Where they're supposed to be, yeah.
No, mine are high, which okay. I always thought, oh, that's great. because the higher the count, the less at risk a person is, or at least that's the thinking, at developing heart disease.
Now, a new study finds that might not really be true, at least not in all cases. This could have broad implications in the cardiology field. With us to discuss this, senior study author, we're talking with Dr. Natalie Pamir, professor of medicine at the Knight Cardiovascular Institute at Oregon Health and Science University. Dr. Pamir, thank you for joining us. First of all, explain to us what exactly your study found.
Thank you for having me. So I will say that I'm a PhD scientist, not an MD, so I will refrain from making any patient recommendations. So in this study, what we found is, one, low HDL levels, which is the low levels of the good cholesterol, are not bad in African Americans, in Black adults, but are only bad in white adults. And high levels of this good cholesterol are not a game changer with regard to heart disease risk for both white and Black people.
Okay, so as you know, there's a lot of angst in doctors' offices with patients being told your HDL numbers need to be higher because if they're not higher, you run the risk of having heart disease later on. Does your study sort of put all of this, put that kind of discussion in a different light?
I think it does. And so this is one study. Obviously, we need to repeat it, but it's in 24,000 Americans. So it's in a lot of people. But what we find is that high HDL levels are not protective. So those of us who have high HDL levels in the doctor's office get a pat in the back saying, oh, you're doing great, you are protected. That conversation might change. This is one study, we need more evidence, but it's certainly that conversation might change.
You mentioned different ethnicities in your earlier answer. I'm wondering, when it comes to men and women, any differences there as well?
So we didn't detect any sex differences. What we detect a different association with risk according to ethnicity.
Do you have any sense of why your study came out with the results that it did? And I'm asking that because, as you know, The theory has always been, or at least in recent years has been, that HDL acts as kind of, I'm being very probably pedestrian in the way I'm describing this, but basically like a broom, right, that's, you know, sweeping up the cholesterol deposits plaque that might be in your cardiovascular system, and therefore makes it less likely that they're going to get clogged or you're going to have something that's going to break away and form a blood clot and lead to a coronary. But if your study is showing that it's not protective, then that whole theory that was behind it gets tossed out of the window, doesn't it?
Correct. So HDL, like you said it very well, acts like a quicker picker-upper. It picks up the excess cholesterol from the periphery, from the arteries of the heart mainly, and brings it back to the liver to be disposed of as bile. And the thinking was that, oh, let's get more HDL, the more the better. But then that thinking has changed when we tried to raise HDL levels pharmaceutically with CETP inhibitors. We didn't see an associated bettering of heart health. It didn't help with the heart health. So then the thinking has changed, saying that, oh, it doesn't matter maybe how much HDL you have, but whether HDL is good at doing its job of being quicker, picker, upper.
Okay.
So there is more to HDL than HDL cholesterol content, how much cholesterol it carries. HDL is this tiny little lipid ball that comes with different components. And we are trying right now to understand how these components contribute to cardiovascular disease risk.
Dr. Pamir, thank you. Again, that's Dr. Natalie Pamir, Professor of Medicine at Oregon Health and Science University.
And we should point out, and this is very important, that listeners should listen to their doctor's advice on what to do and not any one particular radio interview.
Exactly.